So chapter 9 deals with security and privacy, and this is probably one of my most favorite chapters to kind of lecture on, just because I think you guys learn a lot from this chapter. You learn, you know, a little bit more about security. You learn how to secure yourself, your computer, your devices, and so I think this chapter really kind of helps you guys also. But because I like security also, like, I just kind of like talking about it. How many of you guys downloaded the app from yesterday? Did you use it?
Yeah, I told my sister to send it.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anybody else use it?
Which one?
The app that I told you guys about yesterday. The metadata that comes with the pictures and stuff like that.
Okay.
Just asking. Okay. So, talks about why Beacon. Oh. Who was that? Elizabeth, that was you? Elizabeth, you sure that wasn't? That was you? Okay. Okay. We'll just charge you a two. Okay. It talks about why be concerned about computer network and internet security. And hopefully we all understand, like, just the severity and just how often these attacks and these computer crimes occur. It's not like back in the day where, like, you have to be really technical and have a lot of skills to really hack people. Now there's a lot of software that can do everything pretty much for you. You're just trying to tell it who to attack, and the software will do everything, figure out how they're vulnerable, and it'll run the attack basically by itself. So it happens a lot more now than what it used to be. Like I say, and then hackers too are a lot smarter now, and so they gain a little more knowledge, which makes it easier on them. They help create and develop all the software that they use now for a lot of their attacks. When people are cracking passcodes, you all understand that it's not a person like typing in different guesses,
right? Okay.
It's a software. It's a program that's feeding in all types of words and combination of letters. But it's not a person. I know you guys see it in the movie where the hacker is like at a computer and he's trying to figure out the passcode and he keeps going, and usually on the third try he gets it. Like, we're in. And then they are able to, like, it's not really the way it works. Usually they run the software, and the software can, you know, take from an hour to 5 seconds, depend on how strong the password is, which we'll kind of go over. You know, strength of passwords and how you should have a good one and how you should have different passwords. I know it's a little inconvenient trying to remember different passwords, but it helps. Remember how we were yesterday talking about, like, spreading your money around, like the bank? So if you have one password and somebody figures out that password, they're going to try it at all your different accounts, especially if they get your email, because everything feeds into your email. So if they get access to your email, they know everything that's feeding into your email. They know all the businesses that you bank with. All that information comes to your email. So if they get that one, they're going to look, see what bank you're with, try that same password. Look and see what other accounts you have, Amazon, whatever. They're going to try that same password. So if they get that one, like, you don't want them to get access to everything, right? But if you have different passwords, then they can get the one, but they wouldn't have access to anything else.
So for extra security, should we not save any, like, documents that the bank sends us to our email? Just in case they do get in.
That is one way to maybe help prevent that. But I would just say have a strong password.
That's it.
Yeah, I would say have a really strong and different password than any of your other accounts.
16, I heard, right? Should be the minimum?
Over 15, yes.
Over.
Yeah, so 16 at the minimum, yeah.
What was it? If you have, like, accounts like that don't have, like, sensitive information, is that also, like, important that you have a strong password, or?
If it's not sensitive information, then it's not as important, all right? Right. Because if somebody does figure out your account to, let's say it's like a game or something like that, like, there's not much they can do outside of play the game. You know what I mean? So if it's something like that, then that's fine. You can have a separate passcode for all your things that are not really important. But then your things that are important, you want separate passwords for all of those. So I usually like will tell people, like, your bank should be one of your strongest passwords. Your whatever bank you bank with, that passcode should be one of your strongest. Your email should be one of your strongest. And any like government or any like financial things that you're doing, those should have strong passwords. The other stuff, like your, well, I mean, social media, some people really put a lot of information there, so maybe that one should be strong also. But you want strong passwords, all right? And we'll look into those also. So talks about computer crime. Another term for computer crime is cybercrime. I mean, the same thing that just happened through a computer. It's crime committed. And it's a lot of people, like, it's their job. They wake up every day. They get out of bed, get dressed. Sometimes they don't get dressed. They just sit at the computer and they try to hack into accounts, break into accounts. They run their software, running programs, trying to gain access to people's computer to steal information, steal data. That's their job. They steal the data. Sometimes people will sell it to other people who want that data, right? It just depends on what type of hacker they are. But that's, like I say, that's some people's job. That's their work. That's what they do. They're trying to steal.
How do they cover their tracks? Because, you know, when I do things, I'm like, all right, I know right now they know where I'm at, whoever's monitoring, the CIA, whatever, the government. But how do they cover their tracks? So in case they do get caught, they don't know where he's at, he or she is at.
Yeah. Different ways. VPNs is definitely one. Virtual private network, it creates kind of the secure line between what you're doing and who you're communicating with, so that it ideally like can't be traced back to you. In some cases it can. It just makes it a really long process. It can take like months to years to be able to actually trace it back to that person. And another way people kind of hide themselves is basically whatever they're doing, they're going into the system and erasing like everything that they did. Because your computer keeps log of everything that's done.
Yeah.
So they're basically going into the logs and erasing everything that they did.
So I was thinking maybe they treat their laptops like a throwaway. Like once you're done doing the job, the phone was never under their name to begin with, and then they just get rid of the laptop anyway. Is that
not necessarily. Not necessarily. That's I guess that would... The concept is great, but it's just they're a little more expensive than a phone.
Right.
But yeah, that would ideally that would be great if you're able to do that.
So you gotta have a program to erase all the work you did, right?
Program, or you go in and do it yourself, which takes time. But
so that's why you should have a program, right? Running
that. If you have a program, yeah. So if you're a good hacker, you have a program that's gonna do that for you. But if you're like not really there yet, then you're doing it yourself.
Last question. Uh-huh. When they set up that computer that they're doing legal stuff with, do they put their first and last name? Do you know how it asks you, like, is this the name of this computer?
If they're dumb, yes, they'll put their first and last name. But if they're a little smarter, a little more seasoned, no, they'll put like a fake name. Yeah. So, but like I say, you have people who are like kind of getting started and are not really, don't really understand, you know, what they're doing, so they would have their real name inside of there. There was this one case where this guy, they called him the BTK killer. You guys heard about him? No. He was the bind, he used to bind people, tie them up, torture them, and then kill them. And so he was killing for like over 20 years. Like just kind of randomly, just kind of killing. But at this time, like computers were not like big, they weren't huge. And he was like taunting the police, but he was like writing letters and creating like little ransom notes, like making fun of the police because they couldn't catch him. And like he kept getting away with, you know, committing these murders. And then, I don't know, I guess he got full of himself or I don't know. But he sent the letter, was like, can you guys trace if I sent you something on a floppy disk? And they're like, no, we can't. And so he ends up like sending this letter, like taunting the police again, but through like a floppy disk. He mailed it to the police department. And they got it, they were able to look at it, and they were able to do it. They just wanted him to actually, you know, send it. And so he tried to erase as much as he could, but he forgot like the metadata that goes along with the file. And he ended up like the file that he sent that had the letter, they found a deleted file on that same floppy disk that came from this church. And so it had the church and it had the name of who the computer belonged to. So they went to the church and asked for this person, and then the guy shows up and they arrest him.
Like,
yeah. So it's, you know, things like that is just, you know, there's a lot of crimes and stuff that, like, being committed, and, you know, computers are playing a part in, you know, helping solve those crimes. But it's just, you know, want to protect ourselves as much as possible.
Was it a Catholic church or a Christian church?
It was, I believe it was a Catholic. Yeah, I believe it was a Catholic. I'll have to look the story up, but I believe it was a Catholic. Yeah. So yeah, so it's a big business. Committing crimes on a computer. Information privacy just refers to our rights, how our data information is protected, and we should be aware of that. This was the email I got a couple years ago from Norton Antivirus, and basically this email was explaining that through their one of their programs that they offer, they can help protect my privacy rights from my internet service provider. So your internet service provider, whoever you're paying to access the internet, they're keeping track of what you're doing. So they see all the sites you go to, all the, and then they're selling that information to marketing companies, and marketing companies are advertising towards you. But that's through your internet service provider, which a lot of people, you know, don't know. Some people just don't care. But like I said, that's our privacy, our rights, are, you know, to browse and use the internet without being watched or monitored. But our internet service providers are doing that. And we agree to it once we just scroll down to the bottom and click I agree. We agree to it, but a lot of people just don't know and don't understand that. So this was like they're offering like their VPN, which basically helps protect, you know, my browsing history and my browsing habits from being tracked by my internet service provider. So there's ways we can kind of help protect ourselves. Talks about hardware loss and hardware damage. Pretty simple. So hardware loss, when you lose something, computer, USB, flash drive, smartphone, other piece of hardware can be damaged or it can be lost by the owner. And this can be both security and privacy concern because we have a lot of data inside of our devices. Do you guys realize how much information we put inside of our phone? A lot, right? And do you understand like what somebody would know about you by finding your phone or being able to have access to your phone? Like, they would know a lot. They would know everything, right?
So essentially with this like data that you're talking about, this program that you're talking about accessing passwords, they could have the same program for your phone, right? Because you know your phone has a password.
Yeah.
They would have, that's like a thing.
Yeah, they can, yeah. It's a little more challenging with the phone. And then your phone, like, you can set it to, like, lock after 10 tries.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little more challenging. With a lot of programs, computers, they don't necessarily have that. So, yeah.
I was on TV, like, how, like, people would, I don't know if this is actually practical, where, like, they take someone's phone and they clone the phone within, like, 10 minutes or doing that. Is that real, or that's just, like, something, like, maybe
It's not really practical. Not 10 minutes, no.
Oh, okay.
It would take longer.
Okay.
But you can do that, though.
Okay. And then like, it would, like, the person would, like, oh, find, like, dirt on the mic, like stealing, like, the cloning the phone, and, like, you had access to their phone without having their phone.
Yeah. I mean, there's things you can like there's software that can have access to other people's phones. I was watching some show. It wasn't Black Mirror.
Runaways.
Huh?
You wanna watch Runaways?
What's that?
It's like Marvel's Runaways. It's like a show on Hulu. But one of them was like this boss guy. He was like, he's like, oh, can I see your phone for a second? And then it's like, oh, okay, here's your phone back. And then not realizing that all his phone information got stolen onto another phone.
Oh wow. No, I haven't seen that. Actually, the show that I was watching, it was a guy and it was a girl. They were dating, and the guy basically installed this app on the girl's phone to be able to track and trace and see everything that she was doing, everybody that she was texting. He had access to all of that. So that's, yeah, people can like kind of track and see, you know, exactly what you're doing. The other thing that you just made me think about was there is this new scam going around where people are asking to use your phone to make a phone call. And as you hand them your phone, they're going to like your Venmo and Cash App and trying to kind of steal money. So just be careful if people ask to use your phone. Either hold the phone and just, you know, ask or put it on speaker and you hold it and they can have that conversation. But to give your phone to like strangers and, you know, and people wanting to use it, like I would try not to do that.
But at that point too, wouldn't it be easy to go to the police at that point? Because you send it to their Venmo, you have their name.
Yeah, if you know what they're doing.
But I mean, I'm pretty sure you'll notice. Even if, say you do that and you don't notice till, max 5 days later, you can still file a police report and get your money back.
You can, depend on where you're at, right? Because if you're out somewhere randomly, and I randomly come up to you, like, you're not gonna know me to remember me or report me.
True, but you'll have your on their Venmo, you'll have their name.
But they can have like a W phone.
Say that one more time?
Because their Venmo, wouldn't their Venmo be linked to their bank account?
So he's saying wherever the money went,
oh,
go that route.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I get that.
Like the Venmo account is set up. As an individual, you'll have your contact information, your bank information, so it'd be easy to get that money back. In a way,
it might be. Huh? A Venmo card?
And how do you know your phone is hacked? I know the computer because it slows down and all that, overheats, whatever, but how do you know your phone's hacked?
How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know? How does that work?
Depends on what type of software it is.
I'm thinking like malfunctioning, or is it just like jacking all my info but leaving my phone intact? Like how does it work?
It depends. Like I said, it depends on what type of software it is. It depends on what they're actually trying to do. But like to know, it's tough. Yeah.
So is it better to have an Apple phone then because of their software?
Of course.
Okay.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. No, I'm just playing.
Like, they have better security?
They do have better security. Okay. Yeah, Apple does have better security.
How about like a master reset when you have a phone and you're worried about stuff? How about just shaking everything off? Would that help anybody trying to hack into your phone?
Like Apple has the Find My iPhone where you can wipe your phone remotely from a different location.
That always helps, doing the master reset?
Yeah, if you like suspect, you know, someone to have your phone or something like that, yeah, you can definitely master reset it. Brittany, you had your hand up? No, you're stretching? Okay. What is this? Yeah, so just be careful. Like, if you're, giving people your phone, things like that. So it talks about hardware theft, people steal, businesses, schools, organizations. And theft can be for information or it can be for the price of the device itself, right? So people can steal your phone for the information that's on there, or they can steal it to be able to sell it, you know, for, you know, a couple hundred dollars or $1,000, depending on what type of phone you have. It may not necessarily just be for, you know, your information, but they just be trying to steal the phone to have and sell the phone. It talks about damage can occur from power fluctuations, heat, dust, static electricity, water abuse. How do we protect ourselves from power fluctuations? A surge protector. You guys know what a surge protector is? It's like a power strip.
Last time I showed the classes, they all called it an extension cord. So like these,
what does it do?
So it protects from power fluctuations. There's basically like a breaker in there that's gonna, if too much electricity shoots through there, it's gonna handle it so that it doesn't go into your device. So if your device is plugged directly into like the wall and power fluctuations occur, like that's going into your device and it's going to fry it. And then which can cause fires and things like that. So all your big appliances, you wanna have them plugged into a surge protector. Refrigerator, TVs, computer, microwave even. Like you want those plugged into a surge protector so that those devices are protected. Who's just doing it here? Gotcha. So you want to make sure that, like I said, you have those devices plugged into one of these. And also you want to be careful because these do, they don't last forever. So if you want to kind of keep those updated, if it handles like a huge surge of electricity, then it's basically kind of, the next one might go through to your device, right? They don't last forever. So you wanna make sure that you have one that's up to date that actually still works.
How many years did it normally like last?
Depends on how many surges it, you know, can handle. What's going on, Brian?
Happy.
You all right? He's not gonna make it. It depends on how many surges it can handle. Depend on what type it is. Like if you get one from like, you know, a dollar store or something like that, you might wanna, you know, update it every. You know, every couple months or something like that. But if you get one that's, you know, really good, that's, you know, can handle a lot of electricity, then, you know, maybe every 3, 4, 5 years, something like that, you know, and you should be fine.
How do you know if you have a power surge?
Huh?
How do you know if you have a power surge?
How do you know? Typically, there'll be like a light on there that can kind of tell you. It doesn't happen like often like that, but it should have an indicator on there that can tell you that it handled the surge. Like I said, if you just have the regular ones that don't have anything, then yeah, you won't know. But some of them do have like the indicator that lets you know that it handled electrical surge.
So you just have
to be looking for a light? In a sense, no, because that's why you're buying this, so that it can take care of it and you not have to worry about it. But like if you're going to check it like every so often, then you should, you know, see if that light or if that indicator has went off. Is there another hand?
Yeah. So what do you mean by like a power? Like, so what's the purpose of that?
So it handles power, electricity. Electricity flowing through like to houses and it's not steady, it's not constant. There are like peaks and there are spikes. So sometimes something can happen and it's like a real surge of electricity can go through. And if there's nothing stopping it from going into your device, it's gonna, you know, go, that surge of electricity is gonna go into that device and it's gonna cause it to kind of overheat or blow up, burn, and it's not gonna work anymore.
Okay.
So these help protect against those spikes and peaks of electricity.
And then, so when those spikes happen, is that when like there's like power outages and stuff like that?
So sometimes when they cut the power back on, like that's a surge of electricity like kind of going back through. And so if you don't have one of these to be able to handle all the electricity that's getting ready, that's kind of coming on, coming out, like it can burn and fry your devices.
But is this only for like desktop computers, or is this for like all accounting? So you can like your phone, and like maybe like your lamp is like matter. I mean, this they all have like a risk.
I mean, there's a risk in everything that's plugged into electricity. Like say, the bigger the appliance, the more electricity it uses, the bigger the damage could be. Like the smaller things, like if it's like a lamp, you know, that's not really like a big appliance, not really gonna cost you arm and a leg. But if it's something like a TV that you paid $1,000 for, you want to protect that investment, you know. Phones also, I would definitely have
it. Do the chargers like not have it?
Chargers don't have it themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, you said like after a power outage, there's like a surge, right?
Yeah.
So what about like your refrigerator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing.
So that could get destroyed too? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so for the refrigerator, you have to use those?
You don't have to, but you should.
I find it's only like that. Computers and stuff seems like coming to Wi Fi and everything. You have to have that.
No, not it doesn't have anything to do with Wi Fi. It's just the electricity that it's using. So anything plugged into a wall potentially can be shorted by a surge of electricity. Anything that's plugged into an outlet. Ingrid, and then we'll go ahead.
So I bought like a bunch of those from the Dollar Tree so I can connect my TV. Should I just not do it? Because I couldn't find the long one. I should have went to Lowe's for Home Depot. But right now my TV is connected to like five of those. Because they're only 1 foot long.
Wait, you have
long.
She got a chain of them. And they came from the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, that's
you could have
spent
$5 at Walmart.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it that way. I would try to get one that fits the link.
Yeah. And that'd be like quadruple the protection.
They
no.
came from a dollar store.
It doesn't work out that way?
No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. So like if you install like antivirus on your computer, like you should only have one. If you have like five different programs trying to overprotect yourself, like it's not gonna work. They're gonna cancel each other out. They're gonna be fighting, arguing, because one program is gonna say this file is good, another program is gonna say it's not good, and your computer's just gonna run slowly because you have all these things checking this one file to make sure that it's not a virus. So that's kind of like, you just want one for your TV. So there's different types. Definitely look into it and definitely get one if you're able to. And make sure you check it and make sure it says it's a surge protector. Mm-hmm. There are some that are just basically give you more outlets and there's no surge protection in there. So make sure it's going to protect your devices. Like, make sure it's going to do that.
Can I work the other way around? Like, if I use something that has a lot of power, like blow dryer?
Maybe the GFC, fault circuit interrupter. That protects the outlet.
Gotcha. There are some that have the ground.
GFCI, I think it's called.
I don't think I see any.
Do you want a GFI plug that you plug into?
I think it's part of the receptacle, like the actual outlet.
But yeah, you're talking about protecting your blow dryer from...
Like if my blow dryer overheats or something happens to it, because sometimes it can damage the outlet.
Yes. So you would want a surge protector for that.
So it works that way
too. It works that way too, yes. Yeah, because if that were to go into like the wall of the outlet and fry that, then that's more... There's potential more damage doing that than like it damaging the surge protector. Mm-hmm. which is kind of built to handle that electricity. So,
question. Yep. It's like with older buildings, you know, like off of Fairfax and Adams, those older homes,
mm-hmm.
if you plug up too many things, then it shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
So with the surge protector, it won't mess up your equipment by cutting off. Or would it?
It should.
Like if your fuse blows in the house. Like,
yeah, your surge protector should be okay. So like when you cut the fuse back on, like and that electricity all comes back on,
right?
Like your devices should be okay,
okay.
if you have a good surge protector.
Mm-hmm.
What about surge protectors with like the antenna or cable thing? How does that help?
Which one?
Like the surge protectors that have like an antenna or cable plug-in in the bottom.
So
how
like,
does that help? Yeah.
You said how does it work?
Yeah, like how does it help? How does it exactly
I don't. I never had one with the. What do you plug in there?
It's kind of like the antenna or cable thing, but like I don't know, that helps.
What does the other end go to?
I think it's just an out. So it just kind of goes through it.
Huh.
I think it is a lightning protector.
Lightning protector.
Yeah, it's protect the lightning antenna.
Or grounds it.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Okay. Yeah, so I would assume like kind of what you guys are saying is correct, but I would have to really look it up myself to know exactly what that does. So yeah, you have one like that? Or?
I understand.
You just wasted 5 minutes of your
Hypothetically speaking, let's say...
Yeah, we don't do hypothetical.
Let's say in a house, someone had like no form of protection against surges. Would it be possible to like blow a house up by like putting enough electricity into the house so everything fires?
Not necessarily blow up, but catch on fire. That's how a lot of fires like happen.
So would it be possible to like purposely do that to someone's house, like to send enough electricity to fry?
I'm not gonna answer that.
So hardware theft refers to hardware stuff.
Yeah. So we want to protect our devices.
And our friends' devices.
Power fluctuations. Heat is a constant problem that we deal with. Dust. I think we talked about cleaning out our desktop computers and laptops, making sure our fans work, water abuse. We want to make sure that, you know, our items are protected. System failure, complete malfunction of a computer system. And that can be a hardware problem, software, can be computer sabotage. You guys know what sabotage is? Right, somebody purposely wants to cause harm. Basically, purposely wants to blow, cause someone's house to catch on fire, right? That's computer sabotage, in a sense. Where they're using a computer, trying to, like I say, purposely cause harm. One of the most common kind of acts of sabotage you see in, like, movie and TV is people cut the brakes on a car. When they don't like somebody, they want them to suffer. They cut their brakes so that they, you know, end up in an accident. So that's just an act of sabotage. And it can also be to natural disaster, like a system could fail. Earthquakes, right? We've been having earthquakes. That can cause a system failure, cause the whole system to not work because their building could be damaged by a natural disaster. Earthquake they had no control over. It can be, you know, fires, it can be, you know, tornadoes, things like that, which, like I said, they don't have any control over.
So to protect our devices, doors, computer equipment locks. So just a door like helps protect our devices, right? If you want to protect something, you put it behind a door with a lock, and people can't get in it unless they have that key. Equipment locks. You guys ever go to the store and you're like maybe looking at a phone or electronic, and you like it's attached to like the string and this cord where you can only go so far. That's like a form of an equipment lock. Right, it's locking the equipment so that you can't just pick it up and walk away with it.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. But that's kind of on the store too. You have to watch and you have to know that people are trying to do things like that. You can only do so much. You know, the locks and things, they can only do so much. So this just kind of shows an example of a notebook lock, like for a tablet. This shows one for iPad where it's locked to the case. Encryption, we talked about encryption, did we?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay, and do I have, I think it's coming up later. So encryption is one way to help protect our devices, right? If the data that someone is trying to steal is encrypted, then we're, in a sense, kind of safe because they don't have access to the data. They may have our devices, but they don't have access to the data, right? It's like if I have my phone, and my phone, when it's locked, the data is encrypted. If they're not able to unlock it, they can take the hard drive out and do everything that they want, but they wouldn't be able to read the information or the data because everything is encrypted, all right? So it's like, when they try to access it, it's like scrambled data, doesn't make sense. They're never able to unscramble encrypted data to make it make sense. It's just unreadable information or data. Got a question?
I'm trying to come up with one.
I got one.
Okay.
So let's say, for instance, on the iPhone, that if you put a passcode on it and you try it 3 or 4 times, it just shuts down the phone. Those are safeguards one can put on your phones?
Yeah, those are cool to have. Depends though. It depends. If you have kids and you have kids constantly using your phone, then that may not be the best thing to have because they're gonna constantly try to get in it and they're gonna end up blocking your phone.
How about if they use the password 4 or 5 times, it shuts down and erases everything in the phone?
So you can set it up that way. 10 tries with the iPhone. You can set up to that 10, after 10 tries, it basically wipes.
Is that automatic?
Yep. After that 10 try, it wipes.
So if someone gave you their iPhone and the password was working and then all of a sudden, you had to put the password in and you tried it 10 times, on the 10th time, it would wipe the whole phone clean?
Yeah, if that setting is on for your iPhone, yes.
You set it on, okay.
Yeah, it's not the default setting. But you can set it so that it does do that.
So people with very important information in their phones want that.
Yeah, people with important information, or like if they're around people they're not familiar with, or going somewhere they're not familiar with.
Like a mortgage company where they keep people's tax returns, ID numbers, and stuff. Someone broke into it and stole that information. Just like there was someone that broke into, I think it was USC, and stole one of the teachers' laptops and they had all that information in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if someone stole your laptop and they tried it 10 times, after that, they just find everything. You got back.
My setting is not on like that. But first, I will find out who it is, and then I would.
How do you find out who steals your laptop? You got the tracer on it, right?
Security. Yeah. So I'll find out eventually and just show up.
My laptop is in.
So what am I trying to encrypt? Just the access to use the computer and go through my stuff, or like access to my mobile banking app? Like, what am I encrypting with that?
So you're encrypting all the data that's there. All the data that's on that device. You can encrypt it.
Everything.
Which is pictures and documents
everything.
That I downloaded, everything.
Everything.
Okay, and like from a person from another computer trying to hack into my stuff, all my stuff's encrypted.
If it's encrypted, they can't get access to it.
Like a virtual vault keeping all my stuff?
In a sense, yes. It's a vault protected by like a passcode.
That provides me, that I input.
Mm-hmm. And once you input that passcode, then your data becomes decrypted. And it's able to be read and understood. Mm-hmm. But once you put that passcode back on, mm-hmm. that information gets encrypted and nobody is able to understand it without knowing the key to decrypt it.
Okay.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Alright.
Check it.
So you can use that for like the phone? Like you can just like plug that on your phone and encrypt all your like data and stuff like that?
Not necessarily for your phone. This is more for like a laptop where you would plug it in. Like, so in order to access the files off of this USB drive, you need to plug it in and input the code to decrypt all the files.
All right, you said the files in there. So am I dragging files from my computer onto that?
Well, this is just one example. Okay. Like there are hard drives that have encryption on there and that are self-encrypted. Like if you want to buy one of those they're a little more expensive, but they do have that ability to be able to kind of self-encrypt data. But this is just in the instance of like maybe you have important files on your flash drive, and if you ever lose it, like you can ensure that they're safe because they would have to know the passcode.
So there's some of those things that encrypt their whole computer and keep things safe, and others that you drag stuff into that thing.
So
and it keeps it safe.
For this one is not the whole computer one.
Okay.
The whole computer one is either a program or like a self-encrypting hard drive. So it's either like the hard drive itself that you would have to buy and insert into your computer, or there's like a program that you run on your computer that's going to encrypt all the data that's there.
Okay. Isn't Total AV doing that for me? Or that's just keeping viruses away?
That's primarily keeping viruses away.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it encrypts your whole computer.
Okay. So there's multiple levels of encryption. Some encrypt the PC,
mm-hmm.
and some you transfer files over to get encrypted and saved into the actual...
Into the flash drive, yeah.
Into the flash drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, last question.
Uh-huh.
Does Apple phones have their own encryption besides that wiping out stuff you just told them about? Like.
So Apple phones are encrypted. Yes. You guys... heard of the or familiar with the San Bernardino shooting that happened?
Right. They tried to get into the phone of the guy.
Yeah, so it was like a big case between Apple and FBI to where the person, the shooter, the suspects, they basically had Apple phones, mm-hmm. and they had tried and they were basically like going to their last try, and they wanted Apple to give them
access,
but they wanted Apple to basically build a backdoor into any iPhone. And so they wanted them to build that and then give that to the FBI so that the FBI wouldn't have to run to them every time to unlock the phone. And so it was a big battle. Like the FBI tried to sue Apple because Apple was like, no, we're not going to give you that because if somebody steals it from you, like that's everybody, you know? And that's what Apple is built on, like security. That's their thing. Like, you know, your information is private. It's secure. And you want us to just give that up, like, for this, you know. Like, we understand it's a tragic. And, you know, they were willing to help them, like, get into the phone. But they wasn't willing to supply what they actually wanted, which was this back door into every kind of iPhone.
Did they get in?
They got in. They went to a third-party company. They say it was like a group in Israeli or something like that. And they were able to get access to the phone. But they never said like what they found in there or if it was any other information.
So like these terrorists and different people are shooting up kids at school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When they get their phone and it's locked,
mm-hmm.
they're wanting to be able to have a master program that can always just get in right away.
Yeah, they want a master key.
Whoever else was involved.
Yeah, they want a master key to be able to go into anybody's phone at anybody's time and get information.
Last question.
Mm-hmm.
If I buy an Apple phone from Metro PCS or go directly to Apple, does the phones change? Like
the phones are the same. Same phone.
Thing.
It's just a service, your coverage.
Okay.
So with Metro, anybody have Metro in here?
You got Metro?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know how your coverage is.
$20
No, not your. Like, how effective, like, can you make calls in different places, in different areas?
Metro is off T-Mobile.
Okay.
So they have made their coverage a lot better.
A lot, okay.
Since they've been coming with T-Mobile.
Gotcha. How many people have T-Mobile?
I had Metro first.
Gotcha. Okay. And you guys like T-Mobile? You guys that are with T-Mobile?
I don't like T-Mobile.
So,
they're building that crazy.
Is that affect our safety? Who provides our cellular connection?
Not necessarily, no. No.
Okay.
The only reason or play where that would come in security is if somebody like hacks T-Mobile. Then they would have your information.
That can happen.
Right. Any company that can happen to. But yeah, like I don't have T-Mobile necessarily. I hear mixed reviews about T-Mobile. Some people say it's good. Some people say it's not so good.
It's not
and
good in, like, congested areas.
Not good in congested areas. So, yeah, I don't know. But that's the only difference would be, like, where you can make calls, where you can get your messages, data, things like that. It doesn't affect your, like, security in a sense.
Wow, it's very creamy. You're T-Mobile again.
Alejandro.
So since, like, Metro's on T-Mobile's, is it like their server or their system? If you hacked Metro, did you get to customers that are with T-Mobile, or is it like?
So if they're using the same like coverage, then it might just be the cell tower. So they're piggybacking off of their cell tower. Not necessarily all the information part of it.
Right.
It just could be the cell tower.
Can you access information through cell towers?
You can access like, because every telephone call has to go through a cell tower, right? So you can know, like, what time and who actually, you know, was calling or sending the text. And you can know, like, where it was going to.
That's the tracking of the GPS you're talking about, right?
Yeah. And so that's how they can kind of know locations of people or know, like, kind of general location of where people are. I watch a lot of Forensic Files show. And a lot of criminals, when they do bad things, like, they make phone calls and they're able to kind of know where they're at or know which direction they're heading in. One person took like the person they just murdered, like their cell phone, but it was on. And so they were able to track it and find his exact location because he wasn't smart.
Is that the bodybuilder?
No, not him.
Oh.
This different guy. But yeah, so it's just, it does give off information. But not like the personal like account information, things like that. Yeah. Jacob?
Yeah, so I have like a question about like phone protection.
Mm-hmm.
So like let's say someone calls you and it's like a scam likely thing and like you answer, could they have like access to like your info and stuff like that on your phone?
By answering your phone?
Yeah.
No.
No.
If they send you a link and you click on something,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But just from talking, no.
So even if it's like a scam-likely thing or something?
Yeah, if it's a scam, all they can do is just try and basically talk you into giving them information. Yeah. We'll go there and then we'll go up here.
So when you crack your screen and you take it to the repair shop, they ask you to like open your phone and like leave it open for them?
Mm-hmm.
Can't they like steal information there? Why
for sure.
Do they do that?
Yeah,
that's happening. They don't need to have your phone open like when they repair your screen.
Right. I think a lot of cases, they maybe they want to test it out and do certain things on it. But to answer your question, yes, they don't need your phone to be on to fix the screen. I think they just do it for a convenience of not having to call you to, you know, come back and make sure the phone works.
They can't call you because they got the phone.
I think it's just a matter of like them trying to get things done faster. But that is a potential security risk. There, back in like the early kind of 2000s, when like there were just kind of random computer shops, and people were taking their PCs and stuff to get fixed, like people didn't really know who they were doing business with, and people were installing like software on these customers' computers. Which they get access to like their webcams and all types of stuff. And like I said, they were just going to get their computer fixed and the person was fixing it, but then they were doing extra stuff on top of that. So yes, that is a concern, which is why maybe, you know, Apple is kind of, you know, saying you should come here versus going somewhere else. I know, it is. I know it is.
So,
but that's just kind of the catch. Let's go here and then we'll, okay.
I was just gonna ask, like, for the scam call that you mentioned, like, what is that thing where you're like, they said something like, if you say yes, like, when they scam call you and ask you, like, they're just trying to get you to say yes and then they can access information or something. How does that kind of scam call exist? Like, where if you just say something or, like, give some kind of verbal agreement, like, somehow access it?
Not that I know of. It might be, but I haven't came across that or heard about it. But if you see anything like that, like, or a video, like, send it to me. Put it in discussion so I can check it out.
So they say hacking is, even you said it, it's the easiest thing right now, right, to do, hacking
mm-hmm.
people. Where do you get these programs to hack people with? Like, does the hacker create it on his own, or does he buy it from, like, the dark web and use it?
Depends. So a lot of software tools that people are using is free.
Wow.
Totally free.
You just gotta know how to look for it on the internet, download it, and send it somewhere.
Just gotta know what it's called, know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a program called Wireshark. Anybody ever heard of Wireshark?
No.
Okay, Brian has heard of it. Okay, so Wireshark is a packet sniffing software, right? And packets are just data that's being sent from one place to another, right? So if I'm at Starbucks, right? And I'm using my computer, and I'm sending a email, or if I'm buying something online, when I press send, that data has to be sent across the internet through packets. Wireshark captures packets, all right? So when I hit send, remember, the messages are broken up into these little separate packets, and it gets sent out to where it's going.
All at one time?
Yeah, all at one time. So if I'm there and I hit send, that data is now being broken up and being sent across the internet. If somebody's on that same same internet line, and they are running Wireshark, they are capturing my packets of information. So like the data that I send, my credit card information that I just used to purchase, is now being captured by someone else.
Is that what they use at the gas stations all the time to get people's debit card numbers?
That's different.
No, that's different. That's different.
But it's not, our numbers are not being sent at that time when they ask for your PIN number. Like when you put your card in,
mm-hmm.
you get some gas and they ask you for your PIN number if you use a debit card.
Yeah. It's not being broadcasted out to where somebody can get it.
It's another kind
yeah.
of jacket.
Henry?
The Wireshark, like, if it's encrypted, this Wireshark, like, just captures encrypted data and can't.
Right. So you have to try and figure out a way, if you can, decrypt it. But if it's encrypted data, then Wireshark wouldn't be able to necessarily, it'll still capture it, but as far as like reading it, like it'll be a lot harder to read.
So it's similar to like a pineapple?
Like, similar to a pineapple, yeah. So that's like I say, Wireshark is a free program. And all you have to do is just know you're running it now. Okay, so Brian is back there running it.
Wireshark,
yeah. So, and you're running it right now, right?
Yeah.
Or, okay, so like...
test it? Can someone do something and then he can catch it?
I mean, I don't know how good Brian is with Wireshark. But, yeah, like he can... Like once he stops running it, he can then access like the packets that people are doing like on the ECC wireless one. Is that which one you're on? Yeah, so then he can then see the packets of data that he captured from what people were sending through Wireshark.
No, let's say no one's sending anything. Can he still see, like, all Andy's online right now?
He doesn't see Andy. He sees your IP address.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just the IP address and then what?
And then the data.
And then he has to open it back up?
So, no, he can see the IP address from where the data is being sent from and where it's going to. So you know the from, you know the to, and then you have the data that you would need to decipher from the packets of data that's being sent.
What if my VPN right now is in Argentina? Am I safe from him identifying me as being in this room using this Wi-Fi?
You're safe. It shouldn't be captured by Wireshark if you're on a VPN.
Okay.
Yeah. You had a, is there a question?
was gonna say, can you do anything to like prevent that?
So a VPN. VPN is a virtual private network that basically gives you a secure line to use the internet or access the internet. Typically, people, when they're working from home or working from a different location, their job makes sure that they're on a VPN so that any data that they send out, like it can be sensitive data like relating from the job. If that information is sent out without a VPN, then it can be captured through all these different programs. But if it's through a VPN, it has a secure private line that only that data should travel on. All right, so you'll be safe in that way.
So is that kind of like a two-way pager type of hookup, where it's not paging, but it's a two-way, directly from one VPN to another?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to go to another VPN, but it's basically just a secure line outside of your standard kind of broadcast and information that's
or
being out.
Or you just have like your personal Wi-Fi?
Personal Wi-Fi, you can use that, but then, like, if you're out somewhere else, like, you have to, or you might be using another Wi-Fi, right?
So at like Starbucks, where it'll go, this is not a secure line, it'll say that.
Right.
Because anybody with the Wireshark around you will capture it right then.
Yes.
So some people would just go to coffee shops and hang out and just...
All the time. I went to this conference, and then I'll let you guys go on a break. I went to this conference, San Jose Security Conference, and this lady, the title of her presentation was Starbucks on Sunday. She's a Wireshark guru. She wrote like a lot of books, but her thing is every Sunday she goes to Starbucks, she hangs out, and she captures packets. She just sits there, just captures packets, goes through them, see what people are doing, see what people are talking about.
Isn't that illegal?
It's
not. I mean, if you've been told this is unsecure and you go on, fair game. Is that what it is?
That's part of it, but the other part is like she's not using the information; she's just viewing it, and it's like it's in a public place in a sense. If she was like taking information, stealing it, and like actually using it, then that would be different. But all she's doing is just viewing what's, in a sense, coming across her program. So it doesn't make it illegal. So she talks about how she does that. She's at the airport. She's like, never use the airport Wi-Fi. That's all she does, just capture packets. Not without a VPN. Anything you send out, if you're on a plane, same way, she does that. She's like, one time she put her laptop, and she has like antennas, like she attaches to her laptop that kind of stick out. They give her a better signal. And people look at her weird, but they don't like...
Know what she's doing.
They don't know what she's doing. But she's able to know like what business people are doing, because a lot of business people get on a flight and they start, you know, handling business, and she's able to see everything. So, VPNs. VPNs. We'll go Jacob, then we'll go here, then we'll go here, then we'll go to break.
So for that, you need to be connected to like a public Wi-Fi, correct? So
what if just an unsecure one.
So what if you're on like LTE or something like that, or 4G?
If it's a secure line that you're on, then you're good. But if it's not a secure one, then you're at risk.
So what do you mean by secure?
Like
VPN? Huh?
Is your home a secure one?
Your home is a secure one?
Yeah.
It is, as long as you have a good passcode on your router.
Okay.
Like if your passcode is weak, then somebody can potentially like be on your Wi-Fi and whatever you're doing is not secure. So yeah, a secure line would be something like with a strong password that only like you have access to. Or like the VPN would be the best. We'll go, Josh.
So for the security conferences, like, you have to be like a teacher to go to that, or anybody to go to that?
The one that I went to was a teacher's one. But I'm going to DEF CON again this year in Vegas. So DEF CON is like the biggest hacking conference, cybersecurity.
Like competitions, like first person to hack this, and it's like super hard.
Yeah.
And it's like prizes and stuff.
Yeah, it's a really dope like conference. If you're into like tech security,
just pay to get in.
Where is it? It's in Vegas. It's in Vegas the first week of August, August 8th through like the 11th. I know I'll be there the 8th through 11th.
Deaf or deaf?
DEF. And it's a really, really cool experience. But that's open to anybody. All you do is just, it's 300 this year, 300 cash only.
No credit card.
And so, like, there's things like, if you're going to DEF CON, like, you never use the Wi-Fi at the hotel. Like, you never use that. Because they do examples.